We are doing a new series that we're calling Locally Grown. And as we start this series today, I want to do a few things different. If you're willing and able, I'd like you to stand as I read our opening text from Galatians 5. So go ahead, stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to start in Galatians 5 with verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray your word would find its home in the soil of our hearts and grow really good fruit. I pray you would transform us, you would change us. Pray you would produce everything in our lives that you purpose to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, Locally Grown is our sermon series. I had titled today's message, if you saw it in the Grace Life that went out, I had titled it Always in Season, Love. Always in season. We're going to look at the first fruit of the Spirit, love, this morning. After the prophetic word that we heard, we could also say love, always on tap. I hope you caught that in the prophetic word. So I'm going to introduce a new sermon series. I'm going to give some insight into this text, which is our text for the whole next 9 weeks, and we'll be rehearsing it. And I'm going to share some things about love, and then we're going to close with an exercise. We're going to do all those things this morning. It's miraculous, and I don't want you to tune out and miss anything. Every time that I preach, I feel enthusiasm for sharing God's word with you. Today, I just want to say I feel a special weightiness to share God's word well. I honestly have had a message that has had a different emphasis churning in my heart every day of this week as I've taken a walk. I've preached myself some pretty good sermons this week. It happened again yesterday while I was mowing. In the Bible, when God would speak to his people through prophetic voices and leaders, he would do special things. He would ask those prophetic voices, those people, to emphasize the importance of the message by doing extraordinary things. You might know that Hosea was asked to marry a prostitute to display for the people how unfaithful they were. Isaiah was told to go around naked and speak a warning to the people for 3 years. Streaking's a little funny in the moment. 3 years. Ezekiel was instructed to lay on his side for 390 days and cook his food with human excrement. Ezekiel pleaded with the Lord, please no. So the Lord relented and said, okay, 390 days and you can use cow excrement. Oh, wow. So he did. Today, my Holy Spirit-inspired methods to emphasize this message are to get a few fresh props out of someone's garden. Here we have spaghetti squash, butternut squash, tomato, locally grown, fresh. So I have a prop. I've asked you to stand while we read the word so that that would make an impact. And I'm wearing this blazer. Pretty dapper, huh? So, how many of you can say amen, no excrement and no nakedness? Hallelujah, we're already doing well this morning, yeah? Yesterday while I was mowing the lawn, I was saying, Lord, how can I share everything you've been churning in my heart all week and do it faithfully? And I felt a compassionate, patient smile from the Holy Spirit, and I had a sense that this was what he was saying. He's saying, it's okay, Merle, I got this. I'm speaking to those whose hearts are open to hear. You don't have to say everything for me. So I feel a weightiness to share well what God's been speaking, and I feel a lightness that I don't have to get it all because he is speaking all the time, and our hearts that are open will hear and receive. So locally grown, I hope we have all experienced and know that produce grown locally is much fresher, it's much yummier, it's healthier. Sure, we can get the tomatoes year round or corn perhaps. We can even get squash from some distant market, even an international source, but the produce that is grown nearby from a neighbor's garden, a friend, a family, it is so much fresher, yummy, healthier. It is so good. I and Sue were blessed with some sweet corn from Louie and Rhea a couple of times. The best. There's no extra injections or preservatives to make it ripen quickly or to keep it from spoiling. This proximity principle relating to produce and fruit is true in the Spirit too. Jesus promised that when he went away, he would send the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us always. The Holy Spirit lives in each one of us who believe and follow him, and that the Holy Spirit in our heart is as local as you can get, church. The Holy Spirit fills us repeatedly. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness, it says in Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, and 1 Corinthians 12 details many of them. The Holy Spirit guides us, comforts us, teaches us, reminds us. John 14 shares all of those good things. And here in this Galatians 5 text, we get a promise of even more. The Holy Spirit is at work in us and will produce some wonderful things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's another idea with this locally grown theme that I want us to acknowledge. Earlier in the service, Jeff shared a remarkable prophetic word. It was uniquely spoken to this church family from one of its church members. That's a locally grown word, church, that's for us. Now, there is something in us that wants at times to listen to something that was spoken halfway around the world or in three states over and hold on to it as something amazing. And I'm not going to judge all of that. To me, a bunch of it ends up being noise and hype. God's speaking to us. If we have ears to hear, I want us to embrace it. Please don't fall into the trap of paying more attention to what other people are saying around the world than what God is saying to us right here through the members of his body. It's so good. I printed and made copies of it so that you can take one as you leave. Okay? I call it refrigerator worthy. This one you should put on your refrigerator so that every time you have an appetite for something else, you'll be reminded of this powerful word that is so timely for us. Okay? Embrace it. God's speaking to us. It's uniquely targeted for what God is doing in our midst. The Galatians text. Galatians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to some Gentile believers in this community, and he wrote it to them, urging them not to be coerced into obeying some other gospel than the one they were given. The gospel of the good news of salvation by faith through grace. That is such good news. But there were a bunch of Jewish Christians who believed that the Gentile Christians weren't very good because they weren't eating the right things and they were touching the wrong things. And some of them, most of them weren't circumcised. And all of those things were important Old Testament law for these Jewish Christians. And they wanted these Gentile Christians to embrace all of that. And Paul says, no, it's not by anything you can do on your own. It's by grace. Salvation is by faith. Believe in what Jesus fulfilled, all of that law that you could never fulfill. He fulfilled it. He completed it in our place. And all we have to do to receive salvation, to receive forgiveness, is to believe in the finished work of Jesus. That's the good news. And so he is adamantly refuting this concept that you've got to do good and be good to have a relationship with God. That's good news for us. We no longer live according to our old nature if we have given our hearts to following Jesus as one of his disciples. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our hearts, and he goes to work and produces these wonderful fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today, we're going to highlight the fruit of love. Now, we can get confused about what love really means because we use the word so liberally and carelessly. Here's something. Everything I'm about to read, I have said in the last week. I love chocolate. I love Klein's ice cream. I love Snickers. I love Sue. I love riding motorcycle. I love the beach. I love hiking the Appalachian Trail. I love the Berg, Harrisonburg. I love my alma mater, JMU. Do you see how that when we make all these kinds of statements, we can dilute and trivialize this word love? So now let's hear a whole bunch of ways that the Bible talks about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love doesn't boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no records of wrong. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices with the truth. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. Because God never fails. God is love. That kind of love is enduring, transformational, powerful. It's a whole lot more than warm feelings or a fleeting emotion, right? And when we love in this manner, the way the Bible defines love, it puts others at the forefront always. For God so loved the world, he loved humanity, he loved you that he sent Jesus. Jesus loved us so much that he willingly sacrificed his life for ours. Jesus loved by defending an adulterous woman from some self-righteous men. Jesus loved by talking with a mixed-race woman at a public watering hole. Jesus loved by honoring a woman for washing his feet with her tears. Jesus loved by feeding thousands of people instead of sending them away. Jesus loved by eating a meal in a tax collector's home. Jesus loved by washing his friend's feet, showing them that they should do the same. Jesus' love was demonstrated by this. And while we were still sinners, while we were a train wreck and a mess, he died for us. Love, in biblical terms, is always directed at others, making them more important than yourself. Loving like Jesus loved is deeply sacrificial. It lifts and honors others. It puts them ahead of ourselves. It wants their well-being rather than our own. I want to love others like Jesus loves me. Don't you? So how does the Holy Spirit produce that kind of love in us? How does the Holy Spirit produce all of these good fruits in us? Well, I want to set you free again and remind you that it isn't by trying harder to fulfill the commands. See, the plants that produced these fruit did not strain themselves and say, bigger squash. Right? Just doesn't happen. A grapevine doesn't say, better grapes, and grit, and push it out. There's no striving. We sang a song in The Champion, let striving cease. Be free. So God produces the fruit in our lives by his Holy Spirit. And so I come back to the question again, how does God produce this kind of wonderful fruit in our lives? I think the key is revealed in those latter verses, verses 24 and 25. Here's what it said. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit produces the fruit, and we have a part to play. We can do some cultivating of the environment, of the soil, and what we do is we crucify the flesh. That's really preachy, religious words. Here's what it means. It's to let our selfishness die. humble ourselves through regular confession and repentance. We say yes to God. He reveals things to us, and we say, God, forgive me, Lord. I repent. I confess that's true of who I am. I confess that's what I've done. Forgive me. Change me. We just humbly embrace the revelation and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's faithful. He's so good at convicting us of stuff. We don't love others well by trying hard and then trying harder and then trying harder still. Now, I like people who put up good effort. We love others like Jesus loves us by embracing the death of our old nature and embracing the new life and the new heart in Christ Jesus. Crucify the old nature. Let it die. Humbly repent every time my flesh shows up and manifests itself. Repent. Confess. I hope this truth is clear to you. It isn't trying harder. It's humble repentance and confession as the Lord goes to work. So sometimes an example helps us embrace the truth. And Lord, do I have plenty of examples. So over the past few years, many of you who've heard me preach have heard me acknowledge and hint that I've got a communication weakness in our marriage. You've heard this before? No, okay. Brand new information. I don't like repeating myself, so this is great. Some of you've heard this. So as so frequently happens in a marriage relationship, my weakness happens to be where Sue is an Olympic champion. She's a wonderful communicator. She's the world's best listener. She's thoughtful. She's sensitive. She asks great questions. She remembers everything that she's heard. And she follows up with the things that she's heard weeks later. Sue's amazing, and I love her so much. Interpersonal communication hasn't been my strength. I have flashes of adequacy. And I have stretches of time where it's acceptable, but invariably I mess up big time. Not every minute, not every day, but every few weeks there's a collapse. And while I've lightened these failures with humor, whenever I've shared them, it isn't trivial or laughable. Nervous laughter is what it is. At best, my communication lapses are rude and insensitive, and at worst, they are disrespectful and hurtful. And right now, I can just feel discomfort in the room. So it's kind of like, wow, what kind of reprobate is he? So I'm going to just share a few for instances. Picking up the newspaper while Sue is sharing her day with me. Asking her a question and then grabbing my phone instead of listening to her. Having my head so focused on my laptop that I don't even acknowledge her or the question she asked me when she's standing 3 feet away. Forgetting something really important that she shared with me last week. Now, there's endless variations of those scenarios. And they would all be true. I love my wife with all my heart. So I always come to my senses eventually and apologize and ask forgiveness. And she graciously forgives me. And eventually the hurt fades. I don't want to even know how many times that cycle has repeated itself in our 31 years of marriage. And if that wasn't enough, to heighten the struggle, Sue's love language, the way she experiences love best, is quality time. Time that is set aside for paying full, undivided attention to what one another is communicating. I can honestly say I've tried and tried to do better. I've tried to produce more good fruit of love in my relationship with Sue. And I just want to say, I'm sticking to my notes right now, not because I don't know this story. It's really painfully clear. I'm doing it so I don't run off into the weeds. So this summer, as COVID amps up the pressure on everything in our life, I desperately try a new approach. I went and asked this older and wiser man for help. I explained as honestly as I could this long pattern of failure and asked for some input. I've destroyed one tissue. These weren't the gentleman's first words, but eventually he came to a moment of truth and said this: Merle, either you don't love Sue as much as you claim, or you are incredibly selfish. Why are you so selfish? Why am I so selfish? I sat with that question for days, struggled to be honest and look in my heart and humbly acknowledge what I saw. I asked God to show me why I was so selfish. Then I took a risk. I shared my dialogue with this person, with Sue, and then I asked her, we were taking a walk. I said, why do you think I'm so selfish? She was gracious and kind, but in less than 30 seconds, she said, could be one of two things. Could be insecurity or pride. I'm so grateful for this man and my wife who give me multiple choice. Insecurity or pride. I prefer to wait until I'm all sorted out and got my crap together before I share testimonies. This is really fresh. I'm learning. Oh, Jesus. I'm learning how to humbly repent rather than stubbornly justify my actions. The fruit is looking promising, but. So the enemy loves to blow up relationships. He likes to blow up friendships between best friends, spouses, leaders. Galatians, beginning of the passage. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Rather, it said, serve one another humbly in love. So how does the Holy Spirit produce fruit in us? He invites us to crucify the flesh, to let it die, to confess and repent whatever it manifests itself. I wanted to take and give you about 4 minutes to sit with the Holy Spirit and do some listening. And so, worship team, if you'd come up, we're gonna do this for a few minutes. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you totally, completely, just the way you are. And Jesus loves you and he loves me so much that he's not content to leave us just the way we are. He has better things for every one of us. He has transformation, healing, freedom. I want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, and I want to allow him to speak to our hearts. And since we live by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. We've heard God's word. We've been reminded of how deep and wide and powerful the love of Jesus is. And so I just want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to pray a prayer. Then we're going to have a slide on the screen that you can reference. Holy Spirit, would you please show us the fruit that is in our lives? Show us what the good fruit is that's already being produced. Holy Spirit, would you also reveal any areas where our old nature needs to be removed? Anything that needs to die so that I'm free to produce good fruit in its place. Please show us that too. Holy Spirit, I pray you would silence the enemy so that we aren't distracted by his lies and his guilt-producing condemnation. We open our hearts and our ears to you. We open our lives to your word and your truth. Holy Spirit, I pray you would give us an ability to quiet our hearts and reflect and listen to you. In Jesus' name. So you can just sit there with the Lord for a few moments. There's a slide full of things there. And I'm not going to make you keep all of that in your head and heart. I do have a page with all of this on it that you can take as you leave. It's in the foyer on the table on the left. This exercise can be done this afternoon. It can be done this evening. It can be done all through the week. It can be done with a trusted friend. Some of us need a little tutoring at times. If you got a trusted friend, invite them to share insight. So it's identify one fruit and then identify two of the good fruit that you see at work and give thanks to the Lord for that. I invite you not to go after 10 bad things and one good thing. That just is overwhelming. Just practically. Just take one thing on at a time with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Those exercises are available in the back. Last week, Sue and I were on the phone with a couple that we're getting to know. They pastor a church in California, and we've met them through our involvement in our One Focus network, and we felt compelled to call them because we knew they were pastoring in an area that's much more challenging and restrictive than we are, and so we kept trying to connect. Finally, we got in touch with them late one evening a week ago, and we were saying, how are you doing? We want to encourage you, we want to pray for you. And so they shared that they've had plenty of struggles with worshiping in compliance with their local county laws, but a couple weeks into this COVID thing back in March, a local charity in their county was receiving food donations from multiple sources in such volume they couldn't keep up with it. And so their church rallied some volunteers and began to gather food. They would take vans and pick up food at this charity, and then they would bring them back to the church and they'd repackage it in bags, and they, between 4 and 6 every weekday afternoon, would just set up a distribution line, and people from the community could drive up, get food, drive home. And then they realized a bunch of people who really needed the food couldn't even get there, and they began traveling and sending people out with food to the homebound people, and as they were in their home and giving them food, they would also pray for them. And then in the food line where people were driving up, and they said, beaters, cars would drive up, BMWs and Mercedes would drive up, and they would just give them the food and bless them. And then they started praying for the people, and people started to get saved in the food line, not food lion, in the food line. People started to get healed for things. And she said, even the people, they would ask everyone who came through, here's your food, would you like prayer? And she said, even the ones who wouldn't receive prayer, they would say, well, we bless you in Jesus' name, and may this food fill your hearts, and may you be, and they just would start praying blessing on them. And as the people would drive away, their heart would be so impacted by the love of God, they'd have to park and cry. I'm like, well, I get that. Love is patient. Love puts others first. Love looks for the good. Love never fails. This couple could have spent all of their time and energy arguing with local county officials about why they can and can't worship in the way they feel called to. They took all of this food and are ministering, and church has gone out of their doors, and this small, vibrant church is now seeing dozens of people saved and dozens of people healed. And when their church can convene again, it's going to be over twice the size it is now. I know. Love never fails. What the enemy means for harm, God turns upside down and fulfills his purpose in our lives. Let's stand. I want to bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you are committed to producing good fruit in our lives. I bless you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I bless you with more and more of the Holy Spirit. I bless you to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I bless you with a willing heart that responds obediently and quickly to him. I bless you to know how wide and long, how deep and high the love of Jesus is for you. I bless you to receive and to share that love of God with others. I bless you to love others the way Jesus loves you. I bless you to love others in sacrificial ways that bring glory and honor to him. I bless you to be a healer and restorer of relationships. May the Lord bless you and keep you, church. May his favor rest upon you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. There's resources on the table as you go out. God bless you.